Today on Life Talk.
There is power in a name, and there is power when somebody knows your name. If you don't know Jesus today, He knows you. He knows your name, and you know what? He loves you. You don't know Jesus. You want to know Jesus. He knows your name. He's calling you by your name, and He wants to reveal Himself to you.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to Life Talk. You know, a lot of people view God as a sort of a distant, hard-to-reach God who maybe created everything but then stepped out of the picture. He doesn't really concern himself with our problems, and he doesn't intervene in world affairs. He's busy with other things. But this is not the God of the Bible. In today's message, we're going to see that our God is a personal God. He's concerned with our struggles, our cares, our problems, and our pains. He wants to help us in our daily trials, and even more, He wants a personal, close-up, deep relationship with His children. I believe today's word is going to encourage you to draw near to Him and to confidently share your needs with Him, knowing He is there for you. So let's get right to today's message, God is personal.
A lot of time, the enemy will lie to you about God this way. He will say, God doesn't care. God doesn't care about your situation. He doesn't care about what you're going through. He's kind of out there, and He's not really listening to you. He's listening to the super saints. You know, all the well-known preachers and teachers and all of that. But little old you, He's not listening to you. He's apathetic. He's kind of out there. There's a group of people who will say, I believe in God, but I don't believe He involves Himself in the affairs of the universe and the affairs of just normal people like you and me. I don't believe that He intervenes in our lives. He's just out there. He created everything and then stepped out of the picture, and now He's no longer involved. And I want to show you today that God is personal. Say with me, God is personal. Do you believe He's personal? Say it again. God is personal. Now, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2, I love this, and it's a quick read, but let me just read it to you now. And it's God speaking through Isaiah to you and me. He says, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you. Everybody say, He created me. O Jacob, and He who formed you, He created and He formed us, O Israel, fear not. And why should we fear not? For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Everybody say, that's personal. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank You that You're a personal God. You are so integrally involved in our lives, start to finish, head to toe, birth to death, that it's amazing to us. And Lord, I just pray that the personalness of You will be real to everyone. Lord, I pray, help us to realize that You care about us as individuals, as single people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, He is personal. He is personal. Amen. Now, the Bible does present a totally different picture of God than what some people believe. And you know, the devil loves lying to you about God. I tell you all the time, it matters what you believe about God. Your whole future depends on what you believe about the character and the nature of God. What do you believe about God? Does He save? Does He provide? Does He guide? Does He heal? Does He speak? Is He alive? Does He take us from hell to heaven? Did He send His Son? Is He patient? Is He kind? Is He merciful? Or is He mean and ornery and just waiting for us to make a mistake so He can stomp us like a cockroach? What do you believe about God? What you believe about God Everything hinges on that. And one thing the enemy will tell you is he really doesn't care about you as a person, especially when you're going through a trial, a really tough time. That's when the enemy slips in and says, where is God? Why is he letting this happen to you? Why hasn't he stopped this? Why hasn't he changed things? And he'll get you to question the character and the nature of God, just like he did in his original attack against the first lady of the world, Eve. Has God said, Eve? Are you sure God said that? You should doubt that God said that. That was his attack, to attack and undermine the character of God. So it's important that we understand that God does intimately care about you and me. He is intimately involved in the affairs of our life. Isaiah said, because he's a personal redeemer and he has called us by our name and we are his, that is all the reason we need to not walk in a spirit of fear. So I want to talk to you today about a few ways that God is personal. And the Bible, I thank God for the Bible, the Word of God. Without it, we wouldn't know hardly anything about God at all except what he has made. But God makes it very clear that he's personal. And one of the first ways we know it is he calls us by our name. Amen. Fear not. Everybody say fear not. See, now here's why we should not walk in fear. Because I have called you, God has called us by our name. Fear not, I have called you by your first name. I've called you, I know you, I recognize you, I address you by your first name. And Isaiah is not the only one that said this, but Jesus Christ himself said this. He said, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, talking about himself. And he says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep, how? By name, and leads them out. Dale Carnegie wrote in his classic book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, that a person's name is to him or her the sweetest and most important sound in any language. When you use someone's name, it shows you see that person as an individual. When you remember their name, it shows you have interest and respect for that person. When somebody calls you by your name, addresses you by your name, it's the sweetest sound in the universe. He doesn't see us as a nameless face in a crowd. He sees us as individuals that he calls by name. If Jesus were here, he could start over here and start naming your names, every one of you. He would do way better than me. Because there's so many people in our church now, I can't remember all the names. I'm so thankful when I do, but it's very hard to do. But Jesus, if he were here, he'd name every one of you by your first name. Guess what? He's not a, hey, you, Savior. Hey, you. Jesus is never, ever going to address you that way. Hey, you. Have you ever had anybody say, hey, you? You talking to me? My name's not you. It's impersonal, right? But in heaven, you're not going to need to wear a name tag because Jesus knows you by your name. He knows your name. I want you to think about that. He knows your name when you pray. He knows the name of the person praying to him. He knows all about you. Even after his death and burial and resurrection, when Mary Magdalene did not recognize his resurrected body, it says that she recognized him instantly when he said to her, Mary. He knew her by name, and he knows your name, Bill, John, Judy, Becky, Christy, Heather. He knows your name. Now I want you to stop and think about that the Savior, the Redeemer of the world, who holds the entire universe together by the power of his word, the mighty Savior, Messiah, Jesus Christ, knows your name. He's personal. Think about that. The Bible reveals so often when God called people, he called them by their first name. When he called Moses, he called him by his name. It says when Moses saw the bush that was on fire, it said he turned aside to look. And when he looked at the bush that was burning, but was not consumed, it says that God spoke out of the bush. And the first thing he said was, Moses, Moses. He called him by his name. And Moses said, here I am. If you call me by my name, that tells me you know me. That tells me you know me as an individual. I'm not just out there. I'm not just part of a crowd. You know me by name. When young Samuel was ministering for Eli in the temple, it says he had not yet really learned to know God yet, but God called him. And it says the Lord called Samuel, Samuel. And he answered, just like Moses, here I am. And he thought Eli was calling him. So he went in and woke Eli up and said, what do you want? And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. You had a dream. He went back into where he slept. God said again, Samuel. And then a third time, Samuel. And the third time, he realized God was talking to him and God had known his name. He's personal. You remember when Saul was knocked to the ground? He's on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians. And the Bible says that suddenly a light shone from heaven and it knocked him to the ground. And it says that a voice spoke to him. And the first thing the voice said was his name. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now I want you to notice he called him Saul when Saul didn't know him. Saul was lost. Saul at that time was going to hell. But God called him anyway. And I've got news for you today. If you don't know Jesus personally, he still knows your name. He knows your name. He knows your name and he calls you by name. And Saul looked up and said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus. Let's get to know one another. I know your name. Now you know my name. There is power in a name. And there is power when somebody knows your name. If you don't know Jesus today, he knows you. Amen. He knows your name, and you know what? He loves you. I'm talking to somebody on radio today, somebody here in this sanctuary, somebody by streaming video. You don't know Jesus. You want to know Jesus. Can I tell you, he knows your name. He's calling you by your name, and he wants to reveal himself to you. Yes. So everybody say, he knows my name.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Secondly, he doesn't just know your name, he knows you. He knows you more than you can imagine. He knows you. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep. Now that's not just talking about knowing their name. The word know here is the word gnosko, and it means to know somebody by experience, to know somebody firsthand, like you would know your spouse or a best friend from years of experience of relating with them. Jesus knows you intimately and personally that way. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses, the way you're wired emotionally, the things you love, the way you handle stress or not. He knows what problems you're dealing with right now. Nothing is a surprise to him. Nothing is a shock to him. He knows exactly what is going on in your mind and your heart. He knows what you've been dealing with. He knows how you've been hurt. He knows what your talents are. He knows what your DNA and genetic codes are. He knows you intimately, personally, individually, exquisitely, better than any person on earth could ever know you. Jesus knows you personally. He knows you. When you hurt, he hurts. When you rejoice, he rejoices. When you're perplexed, he wants to help you. When you're in temptation, he wants to deliver you. He watches your every step, knows your every breath. He knows everything about you. All the things you would come to know about somebody else over time, he already knows about you. He's personal. The Bible tells us some amazing things about how well God knows us. They're just stunning things. But let me just give you a few. The Bible teaches that he knew us before we were even born. Do you know that? The Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Do you hear that? Before we were born, he knew us. And before we were born, he already had a plan for us. Set us apart, set us aside for his work. He's intimately involved. He knew us. You say, well, Jeff, how could he know me before I was born? Because he's God. God knows the end before the beginning begins. And only God can know that. Only God can do that. So when you look in the mirror, you need to thank God that he knows you, designed you, and has called you with a plan. Not only did he know us before we were born, but he intimately knows us right now, right now. Oh Lord, wrote the psalmist, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. Now get this, you know when I sit or stand. He's watching you. And I'm not talking about Santa Claus. He knows if you've been bad or good and all that stuff. Whoever talked about Santa Claus that way was attributing to him the actual attributes of God. He goes on, when I'm far away, you know my every thought. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it. Hey, good to see you. He knew you were going to say that. Lord, I praise you. He knew you were going to do that. When you're way out there, he knows what you're thinking. God knows us intimately. How can he know that? Because his children, the Spirit of God is living in them. And the Spirit of God, it says in Corinthians, knows the thoughts of a man or a woman. God knows what we're thinking, knows where we're going, knows what our plans are, knows what we're desiring, knows what we're plotting and planning. He knows. Now, some of you, that makes you a little uncomfortable. I wish he didn't know all that. But if you're walking close with him, you're so thankful that you have got a true God, a real God, a living God, a genuine article God who really is God and knows all about the people he loves. Not only did he know you before you were born, and not only does he know everything about us right now, but he knows our future. He says, you scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. Amen. He knows my future. Can you imagine? Think about that. Every day of our life was scheduled before we even began to breathe, and all of our days are numbered in God's book. Amen. The God of the Bible is an up-close, personal God who knows and cares about every aspect of our life. This is why Peter said, give all your worries and cares to God because he cares about you. He cares about you. So say with me, he calls me by name. He knows me completely. And third, now this is a mind blower, but watch this. He literally formed you and I in the womb. That's how personal God is. Listen to Psalms 139. Psalms 139, David writes of God's amazing personal touch on us from the moment we were conceived in our mother's womb. First, he literally starts with our conception. Look at the power of the word of God here. Your eyes, in verse 16, Psalms 139, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Substance is literally the Hebrew word for embryo. God's eye was on you when you were still in embryonic form. When you were just conceived, God's eye was on you, watching you. His gaze was on you. And when the formation of your body had not yet begun, God loved you, knew who you were going to be, knew when you were going to get saved, knew you'd be sitting here today. That's why I say God never says, well, I'll be. Right? Because only people who are surprised say that. But he's never surprised because he knows all about. How many of you are glad that we have a personal God that knows all about us? And I know this is powerful stuff, but let me continue, because God was deeply involved. Not only was he there when we were just conceived, looking at us, gazing at us, but it says he was deeply involved in our ongoing development in the womb. Listen to David. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Formed means made me. And covered means wove or weaved me. God was involved in our formation in the womb. You were not a mass of tissue that was inconsequential. You were a design and a creation of God. The Living Bible puts it this way: you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit them together in my mother's womb. Do you see that David, by the Holy Ghost, is attributing our formation in the womb to God? God was like a seamstress, or God was like an artist who wove and shaped us as we went through the first, second, and third trimesters of mama's pregnancy. He decided what our talents and gifts would be, our DNA and genetic codes, our emotional wiring, our physiques. It says, you, God, were there. While I was being formed in utter seclusion, in other words, in the privacy of my mother's womb, you were there as I was being formed, and you were integrally, intricately involved in it. That's why I say often, you and I were not randomly evolved, but we were beautifully made and are the handiwork of God. And that's what gives you and I value. No wonder suicide rates are at an all-time high among teenagers, because we're teaching them there is no God, there is no purpose, you're the result of random evolution, and there's no real meaning to your life. No wonder they want to check out. And I want to say to them, listen, that's a lie. God made you. God designed you. You've got a plan. You've got a purpose. You've got a destiny. I want you to say with me, he made me. And because he made me, listen, you don't make something. Whoever made this watch made it for a purpose. They made it for a purpose so that I could do this and see if I'm preaching long or not. See, they made it for me to tell time. You got here in a car. The makers did not make that car for it to sit in your driveway and you to stare at it and say, isn't that a beautiful car? They made it to get you somewhere. God did not make you for no reason. God made you with a design in mind, with a plan in his mind. And that's my next point. He has plans for you. Are you glad that God's got plans for you? Do you know what changed my life? When I realized that God had made me, designed me, put his hand on me, and had called me, that I had a divine, there was a divine plan and purpose for my life. And when I discovered that I had meaning and purpose, that I was here for a reason, it totally changed my life. So I don't wake up today or any day and say, oh man, what am I going to do with my life now? No, I wake up because I know there's a plan, that God's got a plan for me. And my goal in life is to fulfill that plan, to finish that plan, and to be able to say with Paul, I have finished God's plan for me. I have kept the faith. I've run the race. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm living for God. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He has plans for every one of us. When you got saved, God had a plan for you. He said, well, I know he did, Jeff, to go to heaven. No, that's not his only plan. He has a plan for you here and now, right here and now. When you got saved, it wasn't just to get you to heaven, but it was so that you would fulfill the plan God has for you. He says, I know the plans I have for you. This is God talking. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Well, what kind of plans, God? Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. You see, without hope, you're not living, you're existing. Without hope, you have no reason to get up and do anything. But when you've got hope, hope says, I've got a confident expectation that something good is coming my way, that God has a plan for me. I wake up with hope. Hope is the oxygen of the soul. And God says, my plans for you are so powerful, so good, so advantageous, that it's to give you a future on this earth and a hope before I take you to heaven. Only a personal God can have plans for you and me.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.